so we do not lose heart. This is the first phrase that begins our passage for today. The lectionary passage that is suggested to us is paired with the third chapter of Genesis in the Old Testament. Both of these passages really sort of probe the depths of what we have experienced together over the last 15 months, a sense of vulnerability and fear. In this passage in 2 Corinthians, what we find is the word sort of reverberating through a congregation in Corinth that has struggled with a number of feelings we'll talk about more in just a moment. The background really serves us well to hear this third chapter of Genesis again, the story of the man and the woman in the garden. And what they discover in that early place of paradise is, having disobeyed God's earlier injunctions, they have found that they are vulnerable, they're exposed. The Hebrew euphemism that is describing their condition is simply nakedness. They have discovered that they're naked, which we've said before, it's not necessarily that they are without clothing. It's a euphemism, just as in English, that describes sort of a double entendre. That is, we could be without clothes, but what we feel is exposed and vulnerable. Our real sense of this nakedness is the fact that we don't have control over our environment. The pandemic has laid this bare in a way, in the sense that we have realized there are things out there that are dangerous, that we hadn't fully planned for, that we wondered about. Scientists were aware this kind of pandemic was highly possible, in fact, was to be expected. But for the average person like us, we were oblivious to the fact that for 15 months, we could be virtually paralyzed in having to stay away from each other and away from church and out of the mainstream part of society that we craved to be part of once again. Thankfully, we're beginning to move out of that. But what this last 15 months has opened up for us is the nature of our human condition. We are vulnerable, whether we like it or not. As much as we feel that we can control and are seeking to increase our control over the environment that surrounds us, we have these moments where we discover that we are not as in control as we thought. We are exposed and vulnerable. We are susceptible to the vagaries of the world that surrounds us in ways that we do not want to admit, but from time to time come face to face with the fact that we are fallible beings. We have bodies that sometimes don't cooperate with us. We have those around us who don't maybe act the way we think they should or expect that they ought to. We have a broader world that may not see perspectives that we have been nurtured in, and we find ourselves sometimes feeling like there are things out there we don't understand. What the man and the woman in the third chapter of Genesis discover in that early story in paradise or in the Garden of Eden is that what they feel, this nakedness, this exposure, this vulnerability, then creates a new emotion for them. We call it fear. They are afraid of what they can't control. They are afraid of what is out there beyond their sense of their ability to be able to handle and plan for and take care of. So in the second chapter, or in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with a congregation in Corinth facing similar vulnerabilities and fear. Both passages really get to the heart of where you and I are living right now, having come out of this pandemic, or at least we're moving slowly, gradually, and we hope continually out of this pandemic. We have had opened up for us the reality that the world is a little less safe than many of us supposed. What the Bible is teaching, and what for me is a valuable word for today, is the heart of this issue, in the sense that the passage begins in the 16th verse of this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart. What's been described in previous passages leading up to this is a series of valuable teachings, a reminder of this vulnerability that the man and the woman discover in the third chapter of Genesis. And Paul in verse 7 says these famous words, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." In other words, even in our vulnerabilities, and yes, we are less strong and courageous and smart than we think, we, no matter what we discover and uncover and move into, still remain vulnerable and exposed to the world around us. These earthen vessels, these bodies that we live in, have sort of an expiration date in a way. We, all of us, recognize that sadly our bodies don't always cooperate with us. They let us down. They are earthen vessels in the sense that as we age and as things happen, and if we have an accident or a fall, or if something occurs in our lives that creates a physical problem, we are painfully reminded that we are existing in earthen vessels. Now, what Paul is teaching, and even the way I just worded that recent phrase, there's something in us that is more than us. That is, the physical nature of our earthen vessels is one thing, but there's something in us that's more than just the physicality that we inhabit. There's something incredibly mysterious and beautiful. We call it our soul. We sort of integrate that with what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, and that is the Holy Spirit, that somehow God's Spirit is breathed in us and animates us and allows us to be more fully who we are called to be, not just physical people whose earthen vessels deteriorate slowly over time or are vulnerable and exposed to the potential for disease or pandemic or accident or fall. There's something in us that is highly spiritual and connected directly to God's eternal nature. This is illustrated before the third chapter, in the second chapter of Genesis, in the earlier part of that, what we call the second creation story. And by the way, there are two creation stories in the Bible. There's Genesis chapter 1, where it's very poetic and it encompasses all of creation and starts at the very beginning of time, as we've quoted a number of times, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and continues on in this highly poetic Hebrew poetry that just exudes a sense of hope and life and interconnectedness of all being. What happens in the second chapter is we get a second creation story that's less poetic and a little more, in a way, descriptive of our human condition. And it happens in this way. It's in the seventh verse of the second chapter, when it simply says, "And God reached into the earth and lifted up the dust and shaped it into a human form." It is very intentionally worded in the sense that it is the dust of the earth, that is, you and I come from this carbon-based substance that forms the majority of our physical nature. We are indeed carbon-based. We are dusty, earthy creatures. So in 2 Corinthians, when Paul says, we are earthen vessels, we have this treasure, that is our deeply spiritual selves contained within earthen vessels, it gets really to the heart of our physical nature. We are, as the second creation story describes, we are earthy people. God lifts out of the dust of the earth and shapes a human form. Again, very intentionally worded in the sense that The physical part is dust, is earthy stuff. But then that seventh verse continues on, and God breathed into that form the breath of life, and that dust of the earth became a human being. Again, the wording is crucial. The human form shaped out of the dust of the earth does not become a human being until God breathes. That word we've said the last 2 weeks is ruach. It is God's breath. It is the wind of God. It is also that ruach, the Hebrew word, also means spirit. It is all three at the same time. God's breath, the wind of God, the spirit of God. It is from that very first verse that blows across the face of the waters when God said, let there be light, and there were light, there was light. It is God's spirit, the breath, the wind of God that animated that early creation, just as now in the second chapter, when God breathes into this dusty human form, it is in that moment that God's breath, God's spirit, the wind of God, blowing into this human form, creates in that moment a human being. In other words, we are earthen vessels made primarily of carbon, and yet in us, in our earthen vessel, is this highly spiritual being, you and me, called a human being. It is this fascinating juxtaposition of earthiness and sacredness that is you and me. What happens then is we have this sort of dual nature of how we move through life, kind of in a way, in constant dialogue. We are tempted to do earthy stuff that may not be that smart, that may be more destructive, that may be more harmful, hurtful, or foolish. We have that tendency to make choices that are more selfish and self-serving. And yet, that tendency can be and should be balanced out with the highly spiritual nature that connects directly to God's eternal nature, that balances out that earthy piece, that earthy part of you and me, and calls on the better angels of our nature, as President Lincoln used to say. This sense of that may not be so wise or just or fair. Or in Jesus' terminology, if we pause for just a moment and think, what might I want in that situation? In other words, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What would it be like to be in that situation? Even we've been discussing the nature of when we come back inside on June the 20th into our sanctuary, and the need to still be wearing masks, even though we have multiple reports and different perspectives from the CDC about if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask, you're perfectly safe, you may not be carrying the vaccine. However, this golden rule thing is at work and should be at work in our Christian congregation, where we stop for a moment and we think, if I were immune compromised, if I had some kind of condition that made me more vulnerable, perhaps I'm not able to take the vaccine. For whatever reason, if I'm a visitor coming in and I see this group of people unmasked inside, will I stay? Will I feel exposed to something that might be a little frightening? I don't know if you've been vaccinated or not. I'm not going to ask you if you've been vaccinated or not, but I'm taking a risk in a way. So this idea of our vulnerability balanced with our spirituality, this earthiness juxtaposed with our sacredness, the sacred nature of ourselves saying, I'm going to err on the side of compassion and caution and think, if I were afraid of my immune condition, but I want desperately to be in a worship experience, and yet I'm not sure about this group of folks, we can err, all of us, on the side of being compassionate and wearing that mask a little longer in our inside worship services. We're so thankful now to be freed up and liberated a little bit to be able to start putting our mask aside. But this is one simple example of how all of us are painfully aware how easily we can stumble into a sense of self-seeking, self-serving, and selfishness, and forget to think about the other and care for the other, especially in a worshiping Christian community like ours. What Paul is wrestling with in this Corinth congregation is that same kind of issue where all through that fellowship, there are people who are feeling threatened and misunderstood and angry, and all kinds of cliques have emerged in that congregation of people who are looking for other allies to be against other folks. And there is what the terminology now is othering. There was a lot of othering going on. We're not like them. No, they're not as good as us. We're different than they are. We see the world in a different way. And sadly, with the sad assistance of social media, this has been exacerbated in our society over the last 15, 20 years, in the sense that we have become highly cliquish in our broader society. And tragically, that has leaked into our churches and leaked into our fellowships and even Sunday school classes, where there is suspicion and othering happening even in our small groups, in our church and other churches all around the world. It is a difficult time where when we feel exposed and vulnerable, and as a result, we then feel afraid. In our fear, the human condition in all of us wants to blame other people and push other folks aside and not take the time to listen carefully and attempt to understand. The perfect example is the recent spat of Asian hate, or prior to that, the tragic racial injustices that have been happening, and the African-American brothers and sisters struggling mightily to try to have voices heard and to be understood, allow their fears to be resolved and heard. And this week, Pride Week, several folks recently were saying, why does there need to be a Pride Week? Well, we wouldn't have to have a Pride Week or to try to lift up our LGBTQ brothers and sisters and embrace them and help them feel welcomed into our world if we had not been so unwelcoming and so hurtful and so exclusive before. In each case, whether it's people of color and African Americans or Asians or Latinx folks or LGBTQ people, in every case, you can kind of hear this echo from the church in Corinth, or at least Paul's teaching. We do not lose heart. There are folks all around us saying, we're not going to lose heart. We're not going to give up on who God has made us to be. So in the midst of our own vulnerabilities, in the midst of our own fear, and in our tendency to want to other and push aside and point fingers, for me, this third chapter of Genesis and the reminders of where we all started, and the second chapter of Genesis that really illustrates our earthiness paired with our sacredness and our callings from God that we have had breathed into us, God's own breath and God's spirit. So we are more than we think we are. We are not just our physical people, these earthen vessels deteriorating, but we have a power in us that is incredibly viable for right now, right here with those surrounding us. We do not need to be afraid. We do not need to point fingers and blame others. We can be open and thankful and glad and joyful. We can be grateful for the world that God has created. We can be thankful for the scientists and the healthcare workers and the farmers and the many, many people, even in restaurants and grocery stores and folks throughout our nation and world who have continued to move forward and keep us safe and help us in these times of trouble. We can be better people than we think we can be because we have a power in us, in our earthen vessels, that is highly spiritual and directly connected to the power of God. Brothers and sisters, in these difficult days, even as we move out of a pandemic, may you feel that extra sense of power and presence in your life. May you feel more open than ever to allow God to use you in the pathways of healing and hope and love and kindness and forgiveness. may all of us help one another to be leaning strongly in the direction of our spiritual selves, recognizing fully our broken and earthen selves, and seeing that valuable balance between the two, always listening carefully to God's voice within our earthen vessels, calling us to better ways of living, loving, and caring. May it be so today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.